From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 13th, 2017. And on this day, the legislature considers allowing police to fundraise under certain circumstances, but those opposed say they are not allowed to do that for a reason. And we'll remember Maine lawyer Dan Lilly, who died this weekend at the age of 79. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, we in Maine are looking at some snow tomorrow, actually quite a lot. There is a big storm coming and the totals are likely to be significant. Ed Morin has the details.
Mainers can expect some pretty intense snowfall tomorrow, with 3 to 4 inches an hour falling during parts of the day. National Weather Service meteorologist Michael Exter in Gray says snow will start to develop just before dawn in southernmost Maine. The snow then spreads from south to north during the day, reaching northern Maine around Caribou by early afternoon.
The heaviest snowfall will likely be during the afternoon hours into the early evening hours, before tapering off around midnight in the south and by early Wednesday morning in the far north.
Exter says snowfall amounts across the state are going to be fairly uniform.
Mainly in the 12 to 18 inch range. However, some locally higher amounts of up to 2 feet are going to be possible in areas of persistent heavy snow banding.
Exter says the heaviest snowfall could occur in Penobscot County, the mountains, and possibly just away from the immediate coast in Cumberland County. He says from the mid-coast down east, snow could mix with sleet for a while, holding down totals, and that heavy winds will cause some blowing and drifting by late afternoon. Parking bans and school closures are already being announced. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ed Morin.
Local reaction now coming into the Congressional Budget Office report released today on the Republican proposal to replace the Affordable Care Act. Emily Brostick is director of Consumers for Affordable Health Care. She says it confirms her concerns that the proposal will leave Mainers worse off.
This plan is particularly concerning for Maine because we have such a large percentage of our population that's older, and they're going to be hurt the most by this proposal. One in five people who buy a plan on our marketplace right now is 55 or older, and those people are going to see their premiums and their out-of-pocket costs skyrocket the most.
In a statement, Independent Senator Angus King says the federal report should be a wake-up call to abandon the GOP proposal. Maine law currently prohibits police officers from engaging in fundraising for any reason, even if it's to assist a fellow officer's family in crisis. The legislature is now considering a proposal that would carve out a narrow exception to that ban, but opponents say there are good reasons why the law is in place. Mel Erie has more.
Senator Bill Diamond, a Democrat from Windham, wants to allow law enforcement officers in Maine to raise money for a fellow officer or the officer's family member when facing a personal crisis, such as a serious illness. Diamond says the only option available now is through professional fundraisers, but most of the money goes to the fundraiser rather than the family. In one case he reviewed, Diamond says 87% of the money raised went to the fundraiser. Paul Gaspar of the Maine Association of Police told the Criminal Justice Committee that he supports Diamond's bill. He says the current law is well-intentioned, but too restrictive.
Also, if their daughter or spouse was afflicted with a catastrophic illness or event, loss of a house in a fire or whatnot, we still could not raise money for them.
York County Sheriff Bill King says the way the law is written, Maine law enforcement officers and their families are prohibited from accepting assistance from groups that commonly help police in other states.
Rotary clubs, Kiwanis clubs, community groups enjoy helping their law enforcement families, but it doesn't happen in Maine. Current legislation makes acceptance and solicitation of almost anything by well-intentioned community members unlawful or very cumbersome.
King points out that the legislation would still not allow police to solicit door-to-door, a concern that was raised when the original law was passed. But Kate Dufour of the Maine Municipal Association is opposed to weakening the current restriction, which she says guards against potential abuse of authority or even the perception of it.
There might be an expectation or a perception, right or wrong, that if an individual does not give or respond to a direct solicitation from a current law enforcement officer, that there may be adverse effects.
And Dufour says some people may also wrongly believe that if they do give a donation, they might benefit the next time they're stopped for a traffic infraction. She says the 70-member policy committee of the MMA, representing city and town officials across the state, voted to oppose the bill. Legislation loosening the state ban on police solicitation has failed in past sessions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Some animals can regenerate lost limbs, like lizards that can grow back tails or starfish that can grow back arms. For humans, regeneration has been limited to the liver and skin, as we well know. But researchers at the Mount Desert Island Biological Laboratory say the ability to regrow other human tissue, like the heart, may be more possible than you would think, especially with their latest discovery. Patty White has more.
Dr. Kevin Strange, the president and CEO of the MDI Biological Laboratory, has always been struck by the fact that so many animals can regenerate body parts. It's made him wonder, why can't humans?
There really is no reason humans can't do it. I mean, you develop from a single-cell embryo, right? And you grow a heart, you grow limbs, you grow a brain, you grow a spinal cord. All the instructions are there for replacing lost and damaged body parts. Why can't we turn those on in response to an injury?
A few years ago, Strange had a hunch that it might be possible to develop a drug to turn on those pathways, and he and his team had the perfect animal to start exploring that idea, the zebrafish. It's a common aquarium fish with a remarkable ability.
You name it. Damage any tissue and it will grow right back.
Also important, says Dr. Vut Yin, an assistant professor at the MDI Biological Lab.
The zebrafish has about 70% of the same genes that you and I have.
Yin led a team of researchers that administered different drugs to zebrafish to try to enhance their ability to regenerate. It was a drug known as MSI-1436, which was developed from the molecule of a dogfish shark that yielded a surprising result when tested on the zebrafish caudal or tail fin.
They were actually able to regenerate 200 to 300 times faster than a placebo drug.
The caudal fin, a complex tissue made of bones and nerves, not only grew back faster, but it had no overgrowth. That's just as important. Yin then tested to see whether the drug would have the same effect on a zebrafish heart. It did. The next step, says Yin, was to test mice.
And what we found was really nothing short of a remarkable effect on the heart.
The injured mammal's heart regenerated. Heart function improved 2 to 3-fold. Damaged tissue reduced by about 50%, and there was an active proliferation of new heart cells.
And that in itself is kind of the holy grail in cardiac regenerative medicine. Ultimately, what we want to do is to be able to stimulate new muscle formation to replace the dying tissue so that the heart would ultimately recover lost heart function.
This is a potential game changer for heart attack patients, says Yin. If a damaged heart can repair itself, it could mean the difference between being able to go for a run versus being tied to an oxygen tank. Dr. Kevin Strange cautions there's a long road to go before the drug could be approved for humans. But it's still a huge step forward, he says, because for nearly 2 decades, researchers have focused on stem cell therapy to repair damaged hearts, and it's not working.
In our opinion, it's a huge discovery because it allows us to hopefully start driving a new and important direction of research in regenerative medicine.
That could open the door to discovering other drugs that help humans regenerate damaged tissue. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Finally today, Maine attorney Daniel Lilly died Saturday at a Maine hospital. Lilly's colleagues describe him as a passionate defense attorney who was fearless in the courtroom. Peers remember the 79-year-old Aroostook County native as a brilliant trial lawyer who never forgot the value of the common touch. A.J. Higgins has more.
In his 50-year legal career, Dan Lilly rose to the upper echelon of criminal trial attorneys in Maine, handling high-profile cases that included the 2013 defense of Mark Strong Sr. Strong was a Thomaston insurance broker and alleged business partner of a Kennebunk prostitute who was running a brothel out of a Zumba dance studio. Augusta attorney Walt McKee said that while Lilly had a common touch with his clients, the gloves came off in the courtroom.
He was somebody that was feared by every one on the other side, because Dan was always somebody who was all in all the way, and he was not one to surrender at all. A tremendous advocate and a great loss.
In 1990, Lilly used a battered spouse defense to win an acquittal for Jackie Bevins of Ogunquit, who was charged with murder after allegedly shooting her husband 15 times. 8 years later, he defended Sia Schrey, who was charged with killing 18-year-old Robert Joyelle in Portland. Lilly was able to develop evidence in the case, and the charges against Schrey were dropped, as the lawyer recalled in a Maine Public Radio interview.
There are a multitude of witnesses that show that my client was where he was and what he was doing at the time of the death of this young man, and he wasn't anywhere near him to cause any of his problems. And the second group of evidence shows that my client, that there are other people who have saw what happened and saw the perpetrator, and it wasn't my client.
Portland attorney Stephen Schwartz said the idea that everyone deserves a chance, no matter what the charge, was a belief that Lilly carried with him throughout his career. But it was Lilly's ability to connect with a jury that left a lasting impression on Schwartz and other lawyers.
He was extremely comfortable in front of a jury. Anybody who would watch him would actually, any lawyer that would watch him would actually learn from him and learn, you know, of course he had a really special charisma with the jury.
Funeral arrangements have yet to be announced. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, March 13th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.